Theme 2. What we heard in Tasmanian disability consultations. Autonomy, inclusion and access. Across all engagement with the disability community, inclusion and accessibility were raised by many people. The disability community told us that education and descriptions of what inclusion looks like should be provided to the Tasmanian government, including sharing of previous local, national and international lessons and examples. Once government departments have had education and are aware of what inclusion looks like, they should be kept accountable to make sure they are making changes to ensure inclusion for people with disability. The focus should also be on the human rights of people with disability. The disability community provided examples of lack of accessibility and inclusion in the community. Lack of pools with sloped entrances. Playgrounds that are not accessible to children with disability. Footpaths not wide enough, cracked, sloped, or obstructed. Not enough accessible parking. People told us inclusion wasn't just about addressing physical barriers, such as the examples above, but also attitudinal barriers. Building positive community attitudes helps to address barriers like ableism, stigma, unconscious bias, and lack of understanding about disability. Attitudinal barriers include ableism and unconscious and conscious bias, meaning people discriminate against people with disability. Stereotyping, misunderstanding, and making generalizations about people with disability. Some examples of work already in progress to improve attitudinal barriers include the disability inclusion planning requirements that are part of the Disability Rights Inclusion and Safeguarding Act 2024 includes a focus on the impact of attitudinal barriers. The inclusion of images of people with disability in Tasmanian government advertising and promotional materials. Many Tasmanian government departments and local governments celebrate and host activities for the International Day of Disability. Questions. 2.1. What does true inclusion look like to you? And what changes would help make your community more inclusive and accessible? 2.2. What can we do to build positive attitudes about people with disability? Accessibility of information. Regarding the accessibility of information, the disability community told us that Tasmanian government departments should know how to make information fully accessible to people with disability. Full accessibility of all information is required, not just in one form, for example, ensuring documents can be read by screen readers, but also including easy-read versions, OSLAN, etc. Documentation should be accessible the first time it is distributed. For example, the easy-read version should be released at the same time as other versions. Government websites are not always where people find/receive information. People with disability are more likely to receive information from Google, Facebook, TikTok, forums, expos, service providers, and word of mouth. People with disability are increasingly using artificial intelligence, AI, such as ChatGPT, to easily understand information. Suggestions to improve accessibility of information included using the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, WCAG 2.2 recommendations, for making web content more accessible and for improving accessibility of other documents. Establishing a user testing group of people with disability to ensure Tasmanian government information is accessible to people with different communication needs. Monitoring and reporting on compliance with the WCAG 2.2 standards for government websites. developing a government-accessible information and communication technology procurement policy and procedure to ensure that systems government uses are accessible from the beginning. Communication teams within the Tasmanian government have increased their focus on accessibility and ensuring information is released in accessible formats. This is a requirement of the new Act, and we have already committed to developing an accessible formats guideline. We also want to include the consistent provision of accessible information as an outcome in the Tasmanian Disability Inclusion Plan. Questions. 2.3. What does accessible communication look like for you? 2.4. What more can we be doing to make getting and understanding information easier? How we have consulted in the past. The disability community has told us that one of the main barriers to inclusive consultation with people with disability is that not enough time is provided to think about issues and provide a meaningful response. True inclusion requires co-design with people with disability. The disability community want more feedback on how consultations were used and acknowledgement as contributors. People can experience consultation fatigue, where they feel like they keep being asked the same things and share the same information without anything changing. The voices of carers, support workers, and organisations are sometimes important to create a full picture of the disability community, but other times the focus should be on the feedback of people with disability only. We were provided practical feedback about ways to improve the involvement and contribution of people with disability in consultation processes, including using the good practice guidelines for engaging with people with disability as it describes how to engage with people with disability, using AI and assistive technology and different ways to communicate to assist in engagement, for example, voice memos, drawings, etc., rather than just having to provide a written response. When planning an event, ensuring everything, from the invitation onward, is accessible. Ensuring people with disability are the most important people in the room and feel welcome and safe to say what they want. This could include more one-on-one engagement and proper remuneration to participate. We have been using this feedback in consultations we have been undertaking. We continue to think about how we can balance consultation fatigue with the importance of including voices of people with disability. In September 2025, a new toolkit to help people with disability in evaluations was released on the Disability Gateway website. The toolkit includes guidance for people with disability about how to get involved and advice for evaluators and decision makers on how to be inclusive. Question 2.5. What else should we be doing when we consult with the disability community? Education. Some people in the disability community, particularly parents of children with disability, told us that they felt there was a lack of curiosity and creativity from the education system in how to work with students with disability. Some people said that some schools do not provide a safe or inclusive learning environment. People shared that it is hard or impossible to appeal or complain about decisions made by school principals, particularly regarding exclusion. Principals often aren't informed regarding inclusion. Bullying from other students is a common barrier to inclusive education for children. Some specific suggestions on how to improve education outcomes for children with disability were shared, including establishing a maximum time frame for students with disability to obtain a cognitive assessment in schools, i.e., 12 months. reassessing learning difficulties in the transition from primary to high school, and sharing the reports with family. Sharing resources with private schools and parents whose children are being homeschooled. Lack of education and learning for adults with disability was also raised, particularly literacy skills, including digital and health literacy. A range of supports have been developed in response to feedback about the education system. These include resources for education staff regarding disability and disability adjustments, online disability awareness training with groups such as the Office of the Anti-Discrimination Commissioner, disability awareness training for all new Department for Education, Children and Young People staff as part of the induction program. Question 2.6. How are education and learning systems working for students with disability from early childhood to adulthood? Employment. We heard that employment is important for people with disability as it can provide increased income and greater financial and general independence, contributing to a sense of identity and self-worth. Lead to more positive mental and general health impacts for people with disability. People with disability shared the difficulties they face in gaining employment and/or progressing in their careers if they are successful in gaining employment. The disability community also highlighted that it was important to include employees of Australian Disability Enterprises, ADEs, when discussing employment for people with disability. We heard that the focus of increasing employment of people with disability should be on upskilling employers' attitudes and increasing their understanding of the benefits of employing people with disability. The Tasmanian government was highlighted as an employer that should lead the way. Suggestions included encouraging departments to use disability employment agencies to target the employment of people with disability, funding a disability employment officer within government to progress the employment strategy, identifying alternative recruitment processes and options to support people with disability in consultation with people with disability, implementing mandatory ableism awareness training in the Tasmanian government. This could address the issue of unconscious bias in the workplace and build awareness of the social and mental health benefits of people with disability being in the workforce. The preference is for face-to-face training by people with disability. In 2024, Business Tasmania's Better Workplace Employer Resources Toolkit was updated in partnership with National Disability Services, NDS. This toolkit helps young Tasmanians with disability to gain employment. We also engaged with local employers through the Employer of Choice program to help them understand how to engage with diverse groups, including people with disability. Employment and financial security are an area of focus under Australia's disability strategy. Questions 2.7. How can our workplaces improve so that people with disability can fully participate and feel secure in their jobs? 2.8. What needs to change so people with disability can work safely and successfully in Tasmania? Health and well-being. We have heard that strong health and well-being can shape a person's quality of life. And this is especially true for people with disability. People with disability have a significantly higher risk of poor health outcomes than people without disability. This includes experiencing higher levels of health conditions and comorbidities that are preventable. Feedback we received from the disability community regarding the health system is that people sometimes face challenges in accessing the health and allied health professionals they need. There are sometimes long waiting lists, or the health service doesn't exist in Tasmania, and some people need to travel interstate to access essential health services. The accessibility and cost of general practitioners is a barrier to receiving the health support they need. People sometimes find it hard to know what counts as a disability support or service compared to health, mental health, aged care, etc., service or support. The definition of disability can change between services. For example, chronic health conditions sometimes are and sometimes aren't considered disability. The health sector can assume they know what's best for a person with disability and can use old paternalistic models of care. Examples to improve health outcomes for people with disability included implementing an education program on the needs of people with disability as part of the induction processes for new health staff, increasing capacity of the Tasmanian Autism Diagnostic Service, hiring speech pathologists, psychologists, and social workers to deliver on the commitment of being available in every child and family learning centre. In February 2025, the Tasmanian Department of Health released the Disability Health Strategy. The strategy outlines activities for the department to improve the experience of people with disability in engaging with the health system through the key focus areas of quality, accessibility, decision-making, workforce, and information systems. The long-term plan for healthcare in Tasmania 2040 is a commitment to improving health outcomes for people with disability by expanding access to integrated, home-based and community care, including supported accommodation or other suitable community-based locations, and supporting the development of the Department of Health's Disability Health Strategy. We have disability-confident workforce training for Department of Health staff, which provides information on disability and creating inclusive and enabling environments. The Department of Health has also partnered with Primary Health Tasmania to support the delivery of the Primary Care Enhancement Program. This program supports health professionals in caring for people with intellectual disability, provides practical training and resources to general practitioners and other primary healthcare professionals to improve their capability in this area. Question 2.9. What should we do to improve health and well-being for people with disability, and what does inclusive healthcare mean to you? Housing and inclusive communities. The disability community has shared there needs to be more accessible social housing options for people with disability. Existing accessible houses need to be improved and maintained. People with disability particularly shared that it is important to have the choice of where they live, who they live with, having visitors whenever they want, having pets. Some specific examples to improve housing for people with disability included developing a checklist in consultation with people with disability to ensure that the location of social housing is appropriate, for example, close to services, avoiding flood and bushfire risk areas. Imposing a minimum percentage of accessible homes built and controlled by community care providers, contractor clause. Reviewing the My Home Shared Equity Scheme to identify how people with disability can be supported to purchase accessible public housing. Developing a monitoring and compliance process for the implementation of the National Construction Code, NCC, 2022 Livable Housing Provisions. As of 1st of October 2025, Stage 2 of the phased implementation of the Livable Housing Design Standard is now in effect in Tasmania. This staged approach is designed to give building service providers enough time to adjust to the new requirements and apply them effectively within the Tasmanian context. The implementation stages are requirements in effect since 1st of October 2024. Minimum clear opening width for entry doors to dwellings. Hobless or flush entry showers. Reinforced walls in bathrooms and sanitary compartments to support future installation of grab rails. Requirements that commenced on 1st of October 2025. Minimum internal door and corridor widths to improve accessibility. Circulation space requirements within sanitary compartments. Final phase of implementation from 1st of October 2026. All remaining provisions under the Livable Housing Design Standards completing the staged rollout. We will review our social housing policy in 2025 to 26. Australia's disability strategy also includes a focus on inclusive homes and communities. In addition to accessible and well-designed homes, Australia's disability strategy includes a focus on participation in the community, access to the built and natural environment, transport accessibility, and the accessibility of information and communication. Question 2.10. What further changes could we make to ensure that people with disability can access livable homes and live in their community? Intersectionality. The disability community told us it is important to remember people with disability are not just one group. Feedback about this included that the separation of support for older people and support for people with disability is difficult when people are often both. People with disability is not the same as National Disability Insurance Scheme, NDIS participants, and that there is an over-focus on people with NDIS packages. There needs to be more inclusion, representation, and understanding of neurodiverse people. The general public often consider disability to be physical disability. Services need to understand how to provide culturally safe supports to cohorts such as LGBTQIA+, culturally and linguistically diverse, called, and First Nations people with disability. Question 2.11. What would help us better understand and support people with disability who have many and overlapping identities, for example, due to age, culture, neurodiversity, gender, or identity? Justice. Regarding the justice system, the disability community shared that people with disability are treated as unreliable witnesses, like children, ignored, disbelieved, or targeted when engaging with the justice system. Inaccessible information can mean that people with disability don't fully understand what they are reading/signing/agreeing to, possibly leading to severe consequences. Feedback was that the criminal justice system should be reviewed to improve how the system responds to the complex needs and vulnerabilities of people with disability. We have started a review of the policy and procedure related to admission of young people to Ashley Youth Detention Centre. The reviewed procedure will consider how to ensure young people with disability receive appropriate support. The Department of Justice's People, Culture and Inclusion Disability Action Plan 2024-2027 builds on previous work in reducing barriers for people with disability. Question 2.12. What else could the criminal justice system be doing to improve how it responds to people with disability? Supported decision making. Supported decision making is when people with disability have the help they need to make decisions. Feedback we received on supported decision making is that it is important to remember that the focus of decision making should be on the dignity, choice, and control for people with disability. Work on supported decision-making should happen at a whole-of-government level and that any related legislation aligns and intersects as necessary. Some people think it is important to have an appropriately funded, supported decision-making scheme as soon as possible. Dispute resolution pathways, such as complaint procedures, should go hand in hand with supported decision-making so that people with disability can disagree with/complain about decisions made on their behalf. We have made changes to the Guardianship and Administration Act 1995, TAS, to support people with disability to make decisions about their lives. This includes ensuring that the Guardianship and Administration Act 1995 recognises and promotes the rights of people with disability and is consistent with the UNCRPD. Introducing supported decision-making principles. When a person is performing a function under the Act, they must do this in a way that is less restrictive of a person's freedom of decision and action, including a process for appointing a substitute decision-maker that respects the decisions of the person with disability, protecting the confidentiality of information related to people with disability. Question 2.13. What needs to change so that people with disability can participate as much as possible in decisions that affect their lives? Transport. Transport is one of the most common issues raised by people with disability. They noted that it does not matter how inclusive a service is if people with disability are not able to get to the service due to lack of transport options. People with disability often rely on public transport, but that public transport is often inaccessible, including timetables, shelters, and the buses themselves. Public transport routes are limited. A person with disability may not be able to safely navigate from a bus stop to their location. If a person with disability is unable to access public transport, other options are limited and expensive. For example, there are not enough wheelchair-accessible taxis. Community transport, while cheaper than taxis, still has a cost and may not be available when needed. Suggestions to improve transport for people with disability include: ensure metro timetables are accessible in accordance with WCAG 2.2. Improve the safety of road crossings, including through pedestrian/refuge islands having tactile indication. Review audible traffic and walk signals to ensure that they give sufficient time for people with mobility or sensory disability to get across roads safely. Increase the number of taxi operators and wheelchair-accessible taxis through incentive schemes and implement an accessible feedback and complaint system for taxis and metro users. We are working to improve Tasmania's road network to ensure it is Disability Discrimination Act compliant, including tactile strips for blind and visually impaired people. Question 2.14. What else could the Tasmanian government be doing to improve the accessibility of transport options?